The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It'll be a 7-8 matchup to get in the playoffs, possibly. And you know, we all know the storyline on the Hawks. I mean, nobody's expecting them to beat the Cavaliers or the Celtics, depending those two powerhouses, who they'd end up playing if they make it into the first round of the playoffs. And the conversation, the narrative will be, well, Jalen Johnson, you know, when he comes back, and you have Dyson, and you have Risa Shea, and you have Trey, and that's fine. I mean, how many times are we going to keep saying this? For right now, we're just a play-in team. That's what we continue to be.
Play in purgatory.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Can't get out of it. They're stuck in it. You just don't see a route to championship.
You're going to have to be,
possibilities.
Yeah, you're going to have to be better than the Celtics and the Cavaliers, right, who are absolutely loaded with the best talent in basketball. Then you have to be in the 3-6 range and show that you're making strides. And I would imagine Tony Russ and everybody else is frustrated. Listen, they went out and made great moves. The Dyson Daniels trade was spectacular. You had no leverage. You went and got one of your best players. I think the moves they made at the trade deadline with getting rid of D'Andre Hunter and Bogdanovich were a good move. I think drafting Risa Shea. Like, I don't fault any of the moves to try to get us out of this, but, like, how long are we going to keep having the same conversation of, you know, back end of the playoffs is what you call it. You know, you don't even call the playoffs. You're a 9-10, 7-8, whatever. You're going to get in the playoffs. So, you know, strange things happen, right? Just because you think Jalen Johnson's going to be back, just because you hope you're going to be healthy, just because you think you have the right pieces, sometimes it works one way, and sometimes you're the Philadelphia 76ers, and it absolutely doesn't. You have a system, it didn't work. Hawks will have to grapple with that, but it will be fun down the stretch to see what's going on there. Atlanta United won one game the other night, is that right, over the weekend? Braves were 1-1 over the weekend. They win Friday, and they lose on Saturday. And yes, I will reveal, because folks are asking me, did you host the post-prom party? Big conversation on the show last week. Did you hear that? You were already gone.
Yes.
A zero-sum game, a lot of folks said. There were two lines of thinking. My beautiful daughter, Nola, had her prom over the weekend, and she's the sweetest. Like, you'll see this with your kids, Drew. There's just one that always checks the box. Nola always checks the boxes. She's ideal kid, sweet as can be. Never gives us any grief. She says, Daddy, we need someone to host after prom. I said, squeeze me? We need somebody, Daddy. Why don't we host after prom? Of which my immediate reaction was, hell no. Why would I want to do that, right? A lot of listeners say you get to keep your eyes on your daughter.
Right.
Keep it under your roof.
Yes.
But then the logic, of course, the liability, the risk-reward, right? You really want to put yourselves in that scenario. So we did not host. We did not host. I did see my daughter after prom.
Okay.
There was a family that was hosting Nola and a few of her friends. That wasn't technically after prom. But so they had us over. Prom ended. I guess the girls came back there to change and go to another party, whatever it was. But for those folks who were asking, we did not.
Where was prom? Can you divulge?
Yeah, it was at the Fern Bank.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. They're on lockdown, dude. You know that the headmaster, you have to look him in the eye and shake his hand as you get off the bus. And if you've been drinking, they put you right back on the bus and they say you're out.
Really?
Yeah, you're out. 100%. So, no.
Did that happen at your prom in 1978?
My prom.
Hold on, you're literally younger than my dad.
My prom was 1984.
Okay.
And no, we did not have to shake someone's hand and look in their eye. I've told the story. You know, it was a disastrous prom night. The girl that wanted me to take her, she basically got the prom invitation, then dumped me like 5 weeks before prom. I had a sure thing going with Fiona, and I wanted to
Fiona!
Fiona was a sure thing, no questions asked, but I would have had to dump my ex 5 weeks before.
Gotcha.
So what I should have done is take care of Stakey, right? Take care of my needs.
Yes.
But I didn't want to be, I didn't want to have, be emblazoned as the guy that left this girl, you know, high and dry 5 weeks before prom. So everything I feared would happen. We go to prom. It's disastrous. I made a mixtape. I thought I would rekindle the romance. We end up at a house party. We'll go to a party down at Cape Cod. We're taking a car. Bob Doxy's got a limo. You can jump in the back of the car. We're going down to Cape Cod, and we're gonna party down there.
Yes.
I end up sleeping in a closet by myself. three strikes and you're out. I made three feeble attempts to try to rekindle things with Suzanne. Meanwhile, Fiona was offering her services elsewhere. I mean, it was just, I woke up at 6:20 a.m., and I was in a closet by myself.
No.
And this was before the cold plunge days. Just like completely broken man. We were near ocean. I just took the walk of shame.
Yeah.
I should have just kept walking. I felt like I was just going to keep
walking.
All
the way.
Just went in the, went in the ocean.
Just keep going.
Hung over like a bejesus and just got in the ocean and said, what do I have here? Prom night was a disaster. So I think my daughter had, it's prom time now. You'll start to see this with the dresses and everything
course.
Else going on. So that was part of the weekend. You were in San Diego?
Yep. Did spring break out in San Diego, Pacific Beach. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Is it the best climate, period? Is San Diego just?
I mean, I think so. It was not a cloud in the sky, 63 degrees, dry as a bone, T-shirts, shorts, flip-flops, and they're like, it's cold. I'm like, no, it's not. It's perfect.
Did you play some golf out there?
We did. We played Rancho Santa Fe Golf Club on Thursday morning. Absolutely beautiful. Drove right past Del Mar Racetrack. Get up into the Rancho Hills.
Yeah.
I mean, it is spectacular.
It was the kids, everybody?
It's me and Evan, so the daddies went and snuck away, and the mommies were extremely brave. And
what's the name of that?
They took five kids to SeaWorld.
And you got out of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
We never got into it. And this was,
what's those,
you know,
drinks? Transfusions, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
What's in a transfusion? You know about transfusion, guys? What's in a transfusion?
The only thing I know about transfusion is Bo loves them.
Oh, he talks about
that,
right?
But yeah, it's Bo's go-to drink.
Yeah,
vodka, ginger ale, splash of cranberry, lime.
Right. Just the perfect golf cocktail? Yeah. Is that right?
It's the perfect golf cocktail.
So did you have to reel it in a little bit because they're getting back from SeaWorld? You didn't want to, you know, or did you just get after? So this was your day?
We had fun.
Okay.
Yeah, we had fun.
And how'd you shoot him?
Pretty good. Played out of my buddy's bag. Didn't even bring my golf clubs. I just said, you know what? I want to just enjoy the day.
Yeah.
And they had what was a steak dog at the turn. It was like a blend of a Philly cheesesteak and a hot dog.
Oh, man.
It was perfect.
Wow.
A great halfway house treat.
That should be something somebody reviews is the best. Just
a little halfway house item.
At the turn,
yeah,
right?
Just a little turn item. And you know, some clubs have signature turn items.
Give
like
me an
Olympic
example.
Club in San Francisco has the burger dog.
Right.
So it is a hot dog, but it is a
hamburger. Is there a guy out there grilling it after the ninth?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, there's lots to get to. We'll talk about how did.
We do have some news out of Augusta as well. The patrons' gates are open.
Okay, so it's happening.
As of 8 a.m., yes.
Okay, so how
you can be on property.
So
right
if
now.
You're listening right now and you've never been to the Masters and you're angling for badges, or this is the week that you're possibly in the mix.
I've got the perfect game plan if you want it.
Yeah, I want it.
Right now?
We got two
first
minutes.
Time at the Masters.
Yeah, first time at the Masters.
You get in as soon as the gates open. You walk straight to the merchandising tent. You're going to have your bankroll. You're going to have your list of what you need to get. You head to the merchandising tent. You spend 45 minutes to an hour there. It's absolutely incredible. The best part is, Steak, is as soon as you walk out with your bags, they have check-in stations. You can go there, plop your bags down for the day. They give you a number. Now you can walk around hands-free.
Okay.
You go straight to a food and beverage stand. Get you a coffee, get you a breakfast sandwich, maybe get yourself a cold beer, go over to the practice range, sit down at the practice range, watch the guys warm up. It's absolutely incredible. They only use it 1 week per year. After you're done with your breakfast and your coffee and maybe you've had your second beer, go walk around the grounds a little bit. Go hit the front nine. Go to Amen Corner. There's some extra food and bev stands down in Amen Corner. See the entire golf course. And then it'll take you around lunchtime, re-up for lunch. And then you got to just free roam for the rest of the day.
So you're not one to just park at a hole. You want to really experience
on a practice round? No, I would say get out and get around. See, and then holes. Late afternoon, if you want to park up at a hole, if you got some guys who are on the golf course, you can go watch them get around a little
bit. But if you're going, you need to see the grounds.
You got to go. And now, you got to go see it all.
I guess the big talk now is the amount of trees that came down, right?
Yeah, so Hurricane Helene.
Make it an easier course on some level.
I just think it'll be visually and aesthetically different. I'm not sure if many trees that were in the line of play are now gone, but I saw some pictures yesterday that were posted on social media from last year to this year. You can just see a pretty significant thinning out of tall pine trees across
the
grounds.
Hey, all week long, we're your source for the best coverage of Georgia's golf major. Masters Week is here. Daily live interviews and analysis each night of the tournament. Westwood One wraps up at 11 at night. This is great radio. Masters coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 is brought to you by Twin Peaks, by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, by Umberto Injury Law, when it's game time and winning is the only option, and by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come check out their new locations. The Masters all week long on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Where does the Duke collapse fall in sports history, at least Final Four? We'll talk to the premier podcaster of Duke basketball, Jason Evans. He'll tell us his story coming up. And any chance that Cooper Flagg could find his way back in Durham and make it another run? And how many of those guys are going to be around next year as well? Houston, Florida tonight. That's going to be right here on Sports Radio 929 as well. It's Steak and Drew on the Steakhouse. 8:23 on a Monday morning in the great city of Atlanta. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler, Masters Week. For a lot of folks that are either headed there, renting houses nearby, or going to experience one of the great television events in history. We got that. We got the national title. One shining moment coming up after that if we're awake for it. I'm up 4:30 wake up. Makes it tough on these lifetime of that I had in my life. Makes it tough staying up late for these games and those one shining moments. That's happening tonight. Florida goes for another national title. And obviously, Houston going for their first ever. We'll talk to Jason Evans in a second here about what happened to the Dukies. Also, the Braves welcome the Phillies to town after a uninspiring Saturday night followed by the prior to a 10-0 blowout on opening day. Braves for home, which was nice, but didn't see a shutout coming the next day at all.
No, not at all. Braves are 1-8. It's the worst record in Major League Baseball. Phillies are 7-2 atop the NL East. Braves have got to win 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 3. Backs are against the wall in the sense that you have to at least find some sort of consistency to prove to the fan base, but more importantly, to prove to your own clubhouse that you have what it takes to compete in 2025. Because right now, as you said, Steak, throughout this morning, they took some massive shots across the bow.
It's just with every loss, you know, you separate yourself. You're trying to get to 500. I mean, that's the number one thing right now is find your way to 500. So you got to win 3 out of 4. You got to win 2 out of 3. You got to have a decent road trip coming up. Like, you just have to slowly inch your way back to 500, and then you can get in the conversation. And then, you know, the Acunas and Spencer Striders and all that, and what the rest of the lineup is going to look like. We'll have lots more on that coming up as well. Also, Drew takes a look at the AJC's Orlando Ledbetter's mock draft. He'll give us his opinion on that coming up. We got Jason ready to go, though. This guy here is the Duke Basketball Roundup. He hosts the podcast, number one in America. And, you know, it was for any sports fan, losing a game like this would be tough. For the folks at Duke Basketball, they're not used to it. It felt like Jason, who hosts the premier podcast in America for Duke, I don't know how to make sense of it other than it felt like everything Duke was trying to do in that game and every advantage they have over Houston, you saw for the first 37 minutes. And then what happened?
Well, there were about 10 or 12 50-50 kind of events, like, oh, you're taking that shot. It's about a 50-50 chance of making it. Oh, you're going for that rebound. It's about a 50-50 chance you get in the rebound. And every single one of them went against Duke. It just happens sometimes. You know, Steak, the reason it's so crushing is that there are teams that have chances to win national titles, but then there are teams that have chances to sort of be legendary, to be, you know, one of the greats. Oh, we're going to talk about you alongside the all-time greats. And this team had that chance, and now that chance is gone.
Yeah, the legacy of this team with more 20-point, 30-point blowouts than any team in Duke history, a spectacular record, an unbelievable run to that point. Now, obviously, Houston is built on physicality and tough defense and just getting 50-50 balls. But, you know, I don't think Duke didn't have the toughness. They just ran into a buzzsaw at the end of that game, and they couldn't slow the tide.
Yeah, and you have to put a little bit of it on John Shire. I mean, the guy's 37 years old, only in his third year as a head coach in his first Final Four. And he said it after the game. He said, look, a lot of this is on me. I need to be able to help my guys, and I didn't help them enough. But I don't think you can't put – it's not Shire's not the guy standing at the free throw line who misses the front end of the one-and-one. Shire's not the guy inbounding the ball who tosses it inexplicably into a crowd as opposed to finding open teammates. There were just many, many – Shire's not the guy who took the shot that came up, you know, a couple inches short. There are just a bunch of different things that went wrong. And I think the thing that stings, like I was saying, you know, Duke was the better team. I love Houston. They're great. They fought their butts off. But Duke was the better team, and everyone watching that game could tell. And then it all just went away in the final few minutes.
Jason, you know, John Shire coming up after the game and saying he'll take the blame, and you just mentioned he's not the one out there taking the shots. Obviously, everybody watching that game knew Cooper Flagg should have and would be getting the ball to take the game-winning shot. But what do you think John Shire could have done differently, or is it just cliche that he says it's my fault?
I think part of it is cliche. I think part of it is they needed to find a way to generate easier points throughout that entire game. You know, part of Duke's profile this whole year has been they've been able to throw lobs to Kamen Malawach, the 7-2 center. And that just never happened in this game. You know, Duke has usually been able to get good offense. When teams really focus on Cooper, they get good offense out of Con Knipple, who's also going to be a lottery pick. I mean, look, all these guys are going to be lottery picks. And they just weren't able to get any of those things. I mean, it would take me 10 minutes to get into all the details of why I think these things didn't work. And a lot of it is credit to Houston and Kelvin Sampson and to his guys who just fought so hard. But a lot of it is just random luck.
Among the Duke faithful and the Duke fan base, what is the overall reaction to what I think was a totally phantom foul call on Cooper Flagg on the free throw line, and he gets called for reaching over? John Shire, Cooper Flagg both look dumbfounded that happened. I could not believe personally that the officials would make that consequential of a call that late in the game.
Well, and by the way, in a game where they had really been letting them play, they hadn't been calling it tight. I mean, Cooper Flagg, who battles inside for rebounds the whole game, that's the only foul he committed in the game. Are you telling me that was the worst contact Cooper Flagg had? It's insane. Yeah, always hate it when the refs become
terrible.
The story.
Well, let Houston go make a shot. You know what I mean? They're coming all the way back. Let them go make a shot. Don't put them on the foul line. Duke had a chance to make a shot, and they didn't. Make Houston do the same and don't send them to the foul line. Finishing up with Jason Evans, it's the Duke Basketball Podcast. How many of these guys are coming back? Is there a possibility to hold on to any of them? And what was your reaction to the Dark Money Duke article that was on the cover of the Wall Street Journal on Friday?
Okay, so in terms of how many of them are coming back, I know people have fantasies. I cannot imagine that Con Knipple, Kamen Malawach, or Cooper Flagg are coming back. All three of them are projected as lottery picks, so put that aside. Everyone else is a question mark. And Duke, like you were saying from that article, Duke has the money to pay these guys if they want to stick around. In terms of that article, I think that the headline, Dark Money, was sort of a way to grab attention. Have you read the piece?
I read it. I didn't understand.
It's not, Dark Money is not the correct description for what the One Vision Futures Fund is.
Yeah, exactly. If you read the piece, all they basically say is, hey, at all these other schools, they're publicly advertising how they want money for the players. And at Duke, rather than publicly advertising it, they've gotten a bunch of really wealthy people together who are like, yeah, John Shire, here's the money. Go ahead. I mean, how is that dark money?
Yeah, I didn't understand. Like, I mean, you can pay kids. There's a fund to pay them. They just don't want their names out there. And the word dark suggests it's some like back alley deal to keep the kids. And they slap it on the cover of the Wall Street Journal
It's just trying to get clicked.
By the way,
I know a couple of the guys named in that article who organized that fund. I've met them before. They're really nice guys. They're very, very successful. And they're like, we love Duke basketball, so we'll give it a little bit of money.
Yeah.
What is this? Is a scandal? Where are you, Wall Street Journal?
The dark nature of the dark money is successful entrepreneurs and alumni who just don't want to take any credit.
Right. I mean, just if anything, they're trying to be modest about it. All right. Before we go, and by the way, in his other life, Jason reviews movies for FlixChat and Movie Joust on a podcast he has. It's not a movie, but what did you think of the finale of White Lotus?
You know, I thought season three of White Lotus...
Without giving it away, but yeah.
No spoilers. I thought season three was a little uninspired. To me, what makes White Lotus great is you have really compelling characters. You put them in, you know, extraordinary circumstances, and you see how it changes them. And my big takeaway after watching this entire season was I didn't feel like any of the characters went on a real journey and changed. They had crazy things happen to them, and they had to adjust to those things. But like, if you're someone who watched it, there's no one on that show that is really very different in episode 8 from who they are in episode 1. And what makes White Lotus great, I think, is when characters have to undergo change. They had to deal with crazy stuff, but they didn't change as a result.
Jason, I'll put you on the spot here. I was on a long flight last week and I watched Conclave. I thought that movie was awesome. What was your review of Conclave, which was up for Best Picture?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. In my top, Conclave was like number 6 in my top 10 last year. It's an outstanding film. And, you know, it got sort of swept aside by films like Anora that were really excellent movies, although they were probably a little bit made more for critics, whereas Conclave, I think, was made a little bit more for the audience, for the regular moviegoers. Yeah, if you're on a plane, Conclave's a wonderful watch. Do it.
What's going to kill it this summer? Give me two movies that are going to crush.
I'm hearing big things about Superman. James Gunn has taken over the DC franchise at Warner Brothers, and his first film is going to be Superman, and I'm really hearing very, very good things about it. You know, I don't know what else is going to be. It's so hard to project at this point. And I don't want to just pick, superhero movies and the such, but I think Fantastic Four and Superman are probably going to be the two biggest movies.
How big a disaster was the Snow White film for Disney?
It's a disaster. I don't know why Disney made that movie, to be honest, because there are certain animated properties. You tell me you're making a Moana sequel or a live-action Lilo and Stitch, and I'm like, yeah, every kid under the age of 12, you know, is into those franchises. Yeah. How often are kids under the age of 12 watching Snow White? It's just not super relevant anymore. It came out in the 1930s,
yeah,
and I don't know why they did it.
Okay.
It's a disaster, but Disney can afford a disaster.
All right, buddy. Until next year, thanks for coming on. We'll talk about movies next time, not about Duke basketball. Thanks.
Thanks, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bad weekend for Dukies. Bad weekend for the Dukies! When we come back, Drew Butler is going to talk about D-Led's got a mock draft.
Come on, D-Led.
You will not believe.
Oh, my goodness.
Is he going for clicks?
Absolutely. Like that Duke dark money article on Wall Street Journal. Come on, D-Led.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's a morning drive, and we're on the air. Man, look what's going on. It's the Steakhouse. Tomorrow's Sandy, Rusty Friday. Mikey Johnson will get the sights and sound of Disney World. He's fighting.
Wow.
He's fighting the good fight
on
spring break, too.
God bless you.
Yeah.
It's a brave man.
I mean, you have to go in just eyes wide open, just ready to battle, right? Ready to
Don't
scrap.
You pick your battles when scheduling a Disney trip?
I would do.
Low season, off times.
We had a strange week off with Bobby, and we went to Orlando Universal as part of like our NBA trip. And we
cool.
Dude, there were not a lot of people at Universal at all.
Is Bobby a big roller coaster guy?
Relatively speaking, yeah. No. We just did one day there, you know. But it was like the difference of that week, like this was like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like now it'll be night and day. You know, Universal's opening a completely new park also.
I saw that.
Completely new park.
I saw some commercials for
that. I know, they're hammering those commercials for sure. Hey, what are you hearing from Mikey, Dylon? What's MJ have to say?
I got to check in with him. I haven't heard anything yet. Haven't got any pictures yet, so I'm going to have to pick his brain a little bit. I know they left Friday. They got there sometime Friday night.
I've seen him on Insta.
Yeah.
I mean, they're knee deep in it, man.
So. Yeah, I gotta double check with them. I'll hit them up today, and I'll report back tomorrow with a good story.
I would have to guess that Mike Johnson woke up this morning doing his CEO morning routine, probably went over to AJC.com, saw D-Led's mock draft, and just called the wife and said, I'm canceling everything.
I need
today.
To be on the air.
I can tell you this. I do know they did get the passes. I don't know what they're called now.
Fast passes.
They did get the fast passes for some of the rides. Now I think you have to choose three rides that you use the fast passes on. It's not like you can use them for every ride.
They'll give us the lowdown, yeah.
Yeah, so he got some fast passes. So at least they're not having to wait super long in lines.
Speaking of fast passes, that's what people are going to want to do with the D-Led mock draft. They're going to say, D-Led, that's a fast pass. I'll pass on that. Take folks through, first of all, the intrigue at the top of the draft
right now,
and then how it falls into play or doesn't for the Falcons.
Yeah, news broke over the weekend. I believe Todd McShay broke it, that the Tennessee Titans have respectfully canceled their private workouts with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter from the University of Colorado, which would then point to the Tennessee Titans all but being a lock for drafting Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami, number one overall. Second pick is the Cleveland Browns. Conventional wisdom states that the Cleveland Browns will be selecting Travis Hunter, second overall, the two-way star Heisman Trophy winner from right here in the Atlanta area, Collins Hill High School, and of course, Colorado, which then puts all eyes on the third pick of the draft, held by the New York Giants. They do need a quarterback. What will they do? Will they draft Shedeur Sanders, or will they take what many believe to be a bona fide stud, can't-miss prospect, Abdul Carter, the defensive end from Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, if all things are being equal, and they think they're both going to be great players, not even a question, they take the quarterback. But there is questions about, I mean, yes, it feels safer to take
Abdul Carter.
It feels safer, less risk. I'm not worried about any of that, you know, meddling or the family or the, you know, either the guy
the
can play
the prime effect.
Yeah, I mean, either the guy wants to be an elite player. His dad was an elite player. If you have a quarterback, you have a chance. If you don't, you have no chance. So, obviously, they have to make an assessment there on what they're going to do. I mean, you know, if New England is sitting there at four, they're going to do friggin' backflips if they get Abdul Carter at four.
Absolutely. So
I mean, beyond, right? So
you and I read the Todd McShay tweet. He says, you know, this one's a no-brainer. In my opinion, we both believe that he is leaning towards the Giants selecting Abdul Carter, the defensive stud from Penn State. D-Led also in his mock draft 3.0 that was released this morning in the AJC, D-Led also has the New York Giants selecting Abdul Carter. Of note, in the top 10, D-Led has the Jacksonville Jaguars selecting Jalen Carter out of Georgia at the number 5 spot. He has Shedeur Sanders sliding all the way to number 9.
Dude, can you
at the
imagine,
New Orleans Saints.
Just imagine, guys, for a second, that Shedeur Sanders rolls into the Big Easy. I mean, are you serious? Can you imagine the hype of having Deion and company there? What's your first thought when
they
you
would absolutely love?
Oh my
that.
God!
I mean, Shedeur, he with his personality, like you said, he would thrive in a city like New Orleans. But I would hate it just because, like, I don't want Shedeur here. Just on the off chance that he does turn out to be an all time great, like, I don't need that in the NFC South for the next decade.
And if he's an all time great that fell in the Saints' lap at 9,
exactly.
You got any notion that he's gonna go all the way down to 9?
No, well,
if he's sliding that far, Day-Day, do you think somebody would trade up and get him?
Shedeur, I can definitely see someone trading up to get him. The question is, you know, your quarterback needy teams are already all the way up at the top.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, at that point, you're looking at someone taking him as a secure backup.
Yeah, no,
so,
nobody's doing that in the top.
You know
ten.
What I mean? So,
No. I mean, you're going to either trade up because you love him, or New Orleans is going to sit down there at 9 and be like, okay, let's go. Let's start the Shedeur Sanders, and they'll be happily tell Derek Carr. Is it Derek Carr
Derek Carr
now?
Yeah.
You're adorable. It's been fun.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate your services.
Maybe give us 5 or 6 games until we put Shedeur out.
Now
there,
watch these jerseys fly off.
Yeah. So, and they are in need of a quarterback of the future.
So who does he have on the Falcons?
Yeah, so D-Led obviously is the Falcons beat writer. I believe he's been.
That's right. Yeah.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
He is.
Yeah, I think so.
He is.
D-Led's been on the Falcons beat for a while. At 15, D-Led has the Atlanta Falcons selecting Kelvin Banks Jr., offensive tackle out of Texas. I'm okay with that. I mean, I would prefer some defensive help.
Yeah, of course, everybody would.
But I'm okay with lines of scrimmage.
Who goes after him?
With the 16th pick in the NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Mykel Williams, defensive end out of Georgia.
So Mykel Williams is available out of Georgia at 15, and we ain't taking him, right?
Yeah, get ready for the city to riot, basically. Right. That's what's going to happen.
Dylan, my question is this.
Yeah.
Dylan, tell me, did D-Led put Mykel Williams at 16, the pick after the Atlanta Falcons, to get the Atlanta Falcons fan base extremely fired up?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dylan.
Now, I mean, the Cardinals are respectfully in need of pass rush too, but he definitely did that.
Is Mykel Williams going to last till 15?
I don't think so. I realistically don't think so.
You got him going at, I mean, I know the stock, it's kind of reversed in the last 2 months, right?
Yeah.
Where he's dropping.
Yes, and Jalen Walker is rising. Yeah. D-Led also has 4 Georgia Bulldogs going in his first round. He has Malachi Stark, safety, going 28th to the Lions. He's got Jared Wilson, center from Georgia, going 29th to the Washington Commanders. You know, Steak, it's all just so dependent, meaning if Shador were to slide to 9, I feel like somebody would trade up to get him before then. I feel like there would be a lot more action in the top 10 picks if top-tier talent like that started slipping away. So I think Mykel Williams goes before 15.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think, given the program he's coming out of, given the impact that you look at him and what he could do for an NFL team, given who his teammates are, given the track record with Georgia, what's happened of late, I just don't see that happening. And I can promise you this. Crank up the phone lines. I've been doing this a long time. If we pass on another Georgia player, if we pass on another defensive Georgia player to get an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys this?
That's a niche.
Real quick. If they do end up passing on a Mykel Williams to go get a Kelvin Banks, you would have to think if they're drafting Kelvin Banks at 15, that they mean they're going to move on from Caleb McGarry. And if they do move on from Caleb McGarry, they save $14.5 million against the salary cap if they release Caleb McGarry prior to June 1st. So with that extra money, would it make it okay if this scenario plays out where they draft Kelvin Banks, get rid of Caleb McGarry, and then use that money to maybe make a late trade for Trey Hendrickson? Would that make it okay if they pass up on a Georgia player?
I mean, Hendrickson's a baller.
Of course, if Hendrickson's in the mix.
Yeah.
So you're saying they might have something up their sleeve if that's the situation?
I would hope so.
Yeah, wow. I mean,
you're talking about a lot of things coming into play to get Trey Hendrickson here. I just don't see it. I think we are gonna try to trade down possibly.
I'm okay with that as well.
Right?
I'm okay with that.
I mean, listen, the Falcons offseason has been thoroughly uninspiring. And the only reason that Falcon morale is not at an all-time low is because of 3 games from Michael Penix Jr.
That is 100% fact.
Yeah. I mean, he lost 2 out of 3 games. We think we have our quarterback of the future. You've talked to guys around the program. They are convinced just from practice in those 3 games that they have absolutely found a winner.
Yeah. I will say this as well. Michael Penix Jr., that Sunday night football game against the Washington Commanders for your playoff livelihood is what it was. The Commanders' defense was not anything outrageously special. But in the moment, what that moment was for Michael Penix Jr. to step in there, yes, he had 1 bad throw for an interception, to drive the Falcons back down the field, to force the game into overtime, the throw to Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, the biggest catch of his career.
It showed you what you needed to see, that he has the it factor, that he can lead the team, that he can take command of the huddle, that he can drive down the field. He can make all the throws. There's no question about it. And look, that's your future. So
think about the position you would be in if Michael Penix hadn't A, shown that, or B, even been on the roster. I mean, think about what you've just come off of: a Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Kirk Cousins, 3 straight years. All its own nightmarish scenario in and of itself, each one of them, right?
Correct.
But then you're hanging on. Now we're our 4th quarterback in 4 years, and this looks like maybe we finally got it right.
You got a ton of talent around him. Bijan, Drake London had a great season. Darnell Mooney was a great acquisition.
Again, we will be fed that you know, once again, drinking the Kool-Aid of, is Kyle Pitts ready to emerge?
But
Michael Penix Jr. wants to make him a factor.
I can promise you that expectations will be far less of what they were a year ago heading into the season.
Yeah. No, there you won't see anybody picking the Falcons for anything. And last year, I mean, the talk
new
around.
New head coach, new quarterback.
Matthew Judon,
Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons. It'll be much, much more curbed heading in.
I mean, that Matthew Judon was such a disaster. Was to lose a third rounder for a guy that absolutely gave you nothing.
Nothing.
I mean.
So what happens? There's a lot of ways to break this down. I think the most fascinating piece of the Falcons draft weekend will not be who they select at number 15. It will be, does Kirk Cousins get dealt on draft weekend?
Hey, by the way, this 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in home today. Also, 8:20, our segment was brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of those Buffalo... at one of those Buffalo's Cafe. All right, we got much more to go to. One more hour to go. Morning Drive. Things I did coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. Three strikes coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. Lots more in the national title game tonight. We have the pick for you. That's coming up. It's Steak and Drew, Sports Radio 929. Again,